Hello, this is Dr. Michael Lalage, Medical Director and Chief of Staff for Kaiser Permanente San Diego. For more than 50 years, San Diegans have entrusted their health care to us. Our care and coverage connect to provide medical care tailored to each member. With our integrated network of primary and specialty care, we work together using evidence-based medicine to help deliver positive results. We believe in a healthy and engaged life with good beginnings and dignified endings. We believe that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness requires total health, including equal access to high-quality, affordable health care. At Kaiser Permanente, our cause is health. Our passion is service. We work to help make lives better. To learn more, visit kp.org/San Diego.
Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Friday, September 12th. Could the shooting of Charlie Kirk be another in a trend of political violence? More on that next, but first, let's do the headlines. The U.S. Department of Education announced yesterday that it will end a grant program for Hispanic-serving institutions and several similar programs, equating to a cut of about $350 million. Hispanic-serving institutions are those with a student body that is at least 25% Latino. In California, there are 167 such institutions. The leader of the CSU system said the cuts would cause irreparable harm. The grant program also serves schools enrolling high numbers of Alaska Native and Native Hawaiian students, Black students, and Asian American students. The funds will now be reallocated to programs that the current administration defines as not including, quote, discriminatory racial and ethnic quotas. The San Diego County Board of Supervisors earlier this week approved changing the formula for its budget reserves. This led to the county's recognized emergency reserves jumping from almost $700 million to over $1.3 billion. The change also decreased the minimum amount of reserves the county needs to have on hand. The reserves can only be used during a recession or in response to state or federal cuts to core services. To use the reserves, it must be approved by the board and be no more than 25% of the reserves per year. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
Hi, I'm Dr. Rachel Jans, Associate Curator of Modern and Contemporary Art at the San Diego Museum of Art. We're presenting a landmark exhibition of Eduardo Chiida, a visionary sculptor who transformed the way we think about form, space, and material. Eduardo Chiida, Convergence, is the most expansive U.S. presentation of the artist's work in nearly 50 years, bringing together monumental sculptures, delicate works on paper, and a virtual reality experience of his iconic Comb of the Wind installation on the Basque coast of Spain. Eduardo Chiida Convergence is on view now through February 8, 2026 at the San Diego Museum of Art in Balboa Park. Learn more at sdmaart.org.
As the fatal shooting of conservative activist Charlie Kirk reverberates across the country, reporter Amita Sharma joined Debbie Cruz to talk about the impact of his killing.
Amita, Charlie Kirk was known as a leader of conservative youth activism, which included local chapters of his organization here in San Diego. He was a young man himself, only 31 years old. Tell us more about who Charlie Kirk was and what we know about the assassination.
Debbie, he was first and foremost a married father of two young children and a highly popular conservative activist and podcaster. He co-founded the right-wing youth group Turning Point USA and actually helped organize the youth vote for President Trump last year in his re-election bid. The president called Kirk a patriot who devoted his life to open debate. Kirk was on his American comeback tour of college campuses at Utah Valley University when he was assassinated. People on social media and elsewhere have raced to point the finger at a political movement for the killing. Trump himself has blamed the radical left. At this point, we know little about the suspect's motives.
What is the presence of his organization, Turning Point USA, around San Diego?
Both UC San Diego and San Diego State have chapters of Kirk's Turning Point USA. Kirk actually spoke at San Diego State in March of last year and then at UC San Diego in May of this year as part of his American Comeback Tour. He gave public talks at least two other times in the region in recent years.
Amitha, what were the purpose of these events and what were they like?
Well, put clearly, debate, and to gain followers in the process. Around 1,000 people attended the UCSD event in May, where Kirk sat in a tent which had the words "Prove me wrong" emblazoned on the top. People there took the challenge and debated Kirk on topics like immigration, LGBTQ plus rights, abortion, religion.
And of course, you have extensively covered political threats locally. What are some examples?
Well, I have to preface all of this, Debbie, by saying that the FBI has warned in recent years that violent extremism from within poses one of the most persistent threats against the United States. Elected officials in San Diego County say threats against them have skyrocketed in recent years. Former Chula Vista Elementary School Board member Kate Bishop told me a few years back that when she was on the board, someone called for her to be gutted and hanged.
What are some reasons for this escalation?
I did ask that very question of UC San Diego political science professor Barbara Walter a few years ago. She wrote the book How Civil Wars Start, and she said that the election of President Trump in 2016 is a big reason for the escalation. She said Trump was the first president who described violence as a legitimate tool. And she said that rhetoric tracks with a rise in other types of violent behavior and violent language. One of Trump's first moves after being sworn in as president this time around was to pardon 1,500 people who participated in the January 6th insurrection. Walter is also a big advocate of regulating social media algorithms that are designed to favor the most incendiary material intended to trigger fear, to trigger anger and hate, because that is what our brains are designed to focus on more heavily.
What do you see as the ramifications of a shooting like this?
Well, possibly more of what we have already seen, which is dark. In 2022, former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's husband, Paul Pelosi, was attacked in their San Francisco home. It put him in the intensive care. There were two assassination attempts against Trump last year when he ran for re-election. A Minnesota Democratic lawmaker and her husband were killed in March. Her Democratic colleague and his wife were also shot. The home of Democratic Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro was firebombed in April. And there's no evidence that the heated political rhetoric has been dampened by Kirk's shooting. Some on the left cheered Kirk's death. Some on the right called for vengeance. In the past, you know, Kirk himself said school shootings are the price we pay for Second Amendment gun rights. And the massive question hanging over all of this is whether President Trump, who has already deployed troops to American cities, might use the shooting to crack down on civil rights.
That was Amitha Sharma speaking with Debbie Cruz. After several weeks of rising COVID cases in the county, numbers are starting to dwindle. The recent surge has prompted people to get vaccinated. But health reporter Heidi DeMarco says San Diegans trying to get a COVID vaccine now are running into obstacles.
The Centers for Disease Control's Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices is scheduled to meet next week. The group, known as ACIP, helps set vaccine recommendations nationwide.
Until the ACIP recommendations are in place, and we have not yet had that ACIP meeting, the San Diego County is unable, they are unable to get vaccines through our clinic.
Jacinda Abdul-Mutakabir is a pharmacist who runs vaccine clinics in underserved areas. She says there's been more interest in the COVID vaccine lately.
And with us having, you know, a lot of seniors, that's really the question of, can I get this vaccine and not have to pay for it?
The out-of-pocket cost is nearly $225. For now, she says, ask your doctor for a prescription, confirm coverage, or get other seasonal shots like flu and RSV. Heidi DeMarco, KPBS News.
MTS is facing a massive deficit in the coming years. Metro reporter Andrew Bowen says the agency's board yesterday delayed a decision on what to do about it.
Ridership on MTS's bus and trolley lines has been growing steadily in recent years, but fare revenues and government subsidies haven't kept pace with rising costs. The agency is on track to run out of reserves roughly 3 years from now. MTS staff proposed a strategy Thursday that included an unspecified fare increase, which San Diego City Councilmember Sean Ila Rivera swiftly shot down.
We know very clearly that nearly 75% of MTS riders are considered low income. This is not the time to ask them to pay more until every alternative option has been explored.
Board members ultimately couldn't agree on a budget strategy, so they kicked the conversation back to a committee for further discussion. Andrew Bowen, KPBS News.
Chula Vista is considering building a new park on the city's west side. As Corey Suzuki reports, it would be the first in almost 20 years.
The lot is at the corner of Oxford and 4th in southwest Chula Vista. 4 years ago, it was an aging fire station, slated for demolition. Now it's empty, except for an agave and a tilting eucalyptus tree.
You could have a shade structure, some picnic tables.
Frank Carson is the director of Chula Vista's Parks and Rec Department. He envisions a vibrant half-acre park here with more trees, a playground, and a fenced-off section for people to take their dogs off-leash.
There's a large amount of multifamily housing units here without yard space, and this would be a much-needed outdoor space for them and their dogs to congregate, as well as that dog community to gather.
Carson says this could be the city's first park here since 2006. West Chula Vista has less than a third of the park space per person than the newer, wealthier East Side. West Side neighborhoods are also more likely to be poorer and more industrial, and more people identify as Latino. Residents are excited about the possibility. Oscar Rodriguez lives just a couple blocks away from the lot.
So it would be nice to relax, you know, something like that, get away instead of going a block to another park or possibly long distance walking, you know.
City officials are still in the process of getting feedback on the plan. Corey Suzuki, KPBS News.
That story came from the iNews Source Documenters program. Go to sandiegodocumenters.org for more information. Every Friday on SDNN, we're going to start bringing you weekend events to check out. First up is the San Diego Bay Fair. It's a weekend of powerboats racing through the waters of Mission Bay, live food and music, a cornhole tournament, and for the car lovers, there's a show featuring lowriders and classic cars. It starts tonight and runs through Sunday. Then, opening day is this Saturday for the Carlsbad Pumpkin Patch. It's at 1200 Laurel Tree Lane in Carlsbad and will feature a pumpkin patch with inflatables, games, and hayrides. Last but not least is Fiesta de Libros, happening Saturday and Sunday at the Central Cultural de la Raza in Balboa Park. It's a free literary festival going from 11 a.m. until 7 p.m. where families are invited to enjoy children's book presentations, panels, storytelling sessions, and book-themed workshops. Sounds like a bookworm's dream. Enjoy. That is it for the pod today. Quinn Owen and Brooke Roof edited the podcast this week. It's hosted and produced by me, Lawrence K. Jackson. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. Thanks for listening and subscribing and supporting public media. Have a great weekend.
KPBS On Demand is supported by Paint Care, offering households and businesses in California more than 800 leftover paint drop-off sites for recycling. Quantities of 100-plus gallons of paint may qualify for a large volume pickup. Learn more at paintcare.org.